She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 259. Learn how to quit your job and double your corporate income in just 30 days with Abby Ashley.
Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Boleyn, your host, and it is time to do it your way.
Hi, friend. Welcome back to another episode of the She Did Her Way podcast. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning into the episode every time it drops, every Monday and every Thursday. I just am so grateful, and I love, love, love that you are here tuning in. And if you are tuning in, something tells me that you are thinking about starting your own business. Maybe you are side hustling right now, looking to make the leap, or maybe you have most recently made the leap and you're in the early stages of your business. Well, my friend, this is the perfect podcast for you. And I am just loving serving up content every single week and being able to hang out with you guys, whether it's through the Her Way community Facebook group or it's through the She Did It Her Way Summit, which I'm still on a like incredible high from. It is amazing. It was amazing. Thank you guys, everyone who came. I'm already planning for 2019 summit, which I hope to release some more information at the end of May. But I did want to give a shout out that if you haven't done so already, make sure you head to shedidherwaypodcast.com and download the lead up checklist and starter kit in there. I talk about the five must-dos before making the leap, questions to ask yourself to get you thinking like an entrepreneur, and the 10 pitfalls to avoid as a new entrepreneur, along with some high performance habits and goal setting. So you can snag that right on shedidherwaypodcast.com. Now, on to today's interview. I am hanging out with the queen of helping virtual assistants grow and launch their business, Abby Ashley. Abby is the founder of The Virtual Savvy, teaching aspiring virtual assistants how to create their own at-home business from scratch. She started her own virtual assistant business in 2012, doubling the salary from her full-time corporate job while working only 20 hours a week in just 30 days. That's incredible. She's passionate about helping others start their own VA business so they can taste the freedom and flexibility of entrepreneurship. So some of the things that we talk about is we cover learn how to market your services, discover how to use Pinterest in your marketing funnel, understand why building an email list at the beginning is so, so crucial, know how to make a online course, and hear what's on her routine checklist. And also we talk about the value of niching down. You don't want to miss it. Coming up next with Abby Ashley. Abby, talk to us a little bit more about your journey in the transition from corporate America to where you are now, because I know this plays a large role into the business that you have today. And a lot of my listeners are in the position where they're looking to make the leap. And I would love for you to share that adventure and journey. I love it how, like, we call it an adventure, right? Adventure and journey with my listeners and what that looks like for you.
Yes, it was definitely an adventure. I'll say that. So, I had a 9-to-5 that I did not love. I didn't like it at all, actually. I worked at an online university, so it was great in the fact that I ended up getting a bachelor's and a master's degree for free, from working there. So it definitely served a purpose, but I was actually 9 months pregnant with my first daughter. And I had just finished my comprehensive exam for my master's degree while I was 9 months pregnant. And I knew, okay, I kind of got the degree and I'm done working here. And really the thought of taking my daughter to daycare to go to a job that I hated just like did not settle well with me. There was just something in me that I was like, I refuse to do that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, nothing against daycare, and my kids actually now go to daycare, but at the time it was just like the idea of paying for her to go somewhere to be with someone I didn't know to go to a job that I hated. It just like did not, it just did not equal up in my mind. So I started looking for work from home opportunities, and somebody, a friend of mine, mentioned, have you looked into virtual assistants? And I had never even heard of a virtual assistant, but I started scouring the internet, reading every article, blog post, ebook that I could find. And the more that I read, I'm like, I think I could do this. I have general admin skills, really not a lot of huge technical skills, but I'm a pretty quick learner. I think I could do this. And so I literally ended up having my baby, going on maternity leave, and deciding that I was going to try to start my business and not have to go back to work. So I do not suggest this to people. Do not try to start a business while you're on maternity leave. But I luckily had a really, really mild-mannered daughter, and I had a lot of time. She slept a lot. So I was like, yeah, let's just try this. And so I started advertising my services, hanging out in Facebook groups, and looking for people who were looking for virtual assistants. And I ended up getting clients, enough clients to the point that I didn't have to go back to my 9-to-5. I had replaced my income, actually only working about 20 hours a week.
Wow.
By that time. So I would have, you know, my husband helped me a little bit on the evenings and the weekends so I could make sure to get everything done. But yeah, it was a huge game changer for me and my family.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I do want to go back to I love your story as well. I mean, it's something that I don't even know if we've had someone on the show that started a business in maternity leave, but it just taking the, you're like, nope, I'm going to do this. The will was there. The desire was there. I would love for you to share with us sort of how you went about marketing your services, because I think that is a really big thing, especially in a service-based industry. And for the listeners out there that want to go into a service-based business, you know, oftentimes it's like, how do I start? Do I email people? How do I even craft what it is that I'm doing? How do I even know what I'm doing? Like, how do I quantify all these things? What was that like for you?
Yep. So for me, first of all, I had to be really clear about what I knew I could do. So I wrote down all of the services that I thought that I could provide, you know, and a lot of them were just really simple, like data entry and calendar management, like things like that, that I'm like, well, I could probably do that. I could do appointment setting, phone calls, maybe, or I just wrote down all the things that I thought that I could do and tacked on like an hourly rate for that. Like, so I was prepared when people were going to hire me. And then the first thing I did, and what I recommend for anyone, service-based or really any type of business that you're starting, is literally just talk to the people, you know, like you know, every person listening probably knows one business owner, one small business owner. And just like, you know, one small business owner, everyone that you know knows one small business owner. Mm. So really, if you just start talking to people and telling them about what you're doing, people will get excited for you. And even if you're just telling, you know, Susie Soccer Mom about the business that you're starting, she may say, oh, I have a brother who owns a business. Maybe he would be interested. Like, it's amazing what'll happen when you just start talking to the people that you already know. And so my first couple of clients were literally just referrals from me just talking to people, telling them what I was doing. Once I got a little further in, I started going to some local networking meetings. So meetup.com is awesome for that. You can go and search for any kind of small business or entrepreneurial events that are happening in your area. See if there's a local chamber of commerce, because that's where small business owners meet that are local. And it's crazy. I was in D.C., Washington, D.C. at the time, which is, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurship in that area. But I would go to these meetings with hundreds of people, and literally I'd be the only virtual assistant there. So people just
came
to me, and we're like, oh, we need this, we need this. So those local networking meetings were awesome. And then also hanging out in Facebook groups. So I would find entrepreneurial Facebook groups. And anytime I'd use the search bar in the corner, if you've ever like searched for something inside of a group, I would look for the terms VA, virtual assistant. I look for the terms help and hire, because someone's like, I'm looking to hire someone to do blah, 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 or I need help with blah, blah, blah. Then
wait a second. Can we just pause at like how savvy of a strategy that is?
Thank you.
Yeah.
It really, really works, because people are like, oh, I don't know where to find jobs. I'm like, they're literally everywhere.
Or even like type in the word problem, and I'm sure a lot will generate. And if you read enough, you'll see a consistent theme of what people are having problems with.
Yes.
And then take advantage of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were really the top ways that I got clients, and it happened really, really quickly for me. And I know it's a little bit slower of a process for some, but I think that even just starting out with those three methods are invaluable.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so then you are at home, maternity leave's over with, you're doing your business. This was back in 2012. Talk to us about, you know, now we're 2018. Give us a high level of what's happened since you started and you were the one doing the VA work to what it is today.
Yeah, so it's been a crazy journey. So I ran my VA business, absolutely loved it, ended up growing a team of subcontractors for me, which was so fun. I kind of formed the role of a project manager. So I would get clients, but then some of the work I would pass on to subcontractors. So I'd be, charging $30, $40 an hour for my services and then paying, some of even just my mom friends $12 or $15 an hour, which was great for them. They didn't have to go start their own business. They could just work from home on a flexible schedule. And then I would look over their work, sending it on to my client after I approved it. And that way I could be making money literally while I was like at the park with my kid. So that was really cool. So I hung out in that spot for a while, honestly, just did that and enjoyed it. And then I ended up getting a client who is a big name blogger. He has launched courses, online courses that have made, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Every time he launches, he
wow.
like hundreds of thousand dollars in sales. And so I ended up working for him and it was honestly like the best. It was almost like a paid internship. It wasn't, but that's the way that I felt because I just learned so much working behind the scenes with him about like how he ran his course launches and things like that. And after a while I was like, I think I could do this. Like, I think that maybe I could launch a course. And so I decided it would have been like early 2016 that I wanted to launch an online course. So I had slowly been building an email list just because I heard people say it was important. I didn't really know why, but I just had slowly built a list. So that was 2012 to early 2016. So I had about 1,000 email subscribers in that 3 to 4 year period. So I decided to spend 3 months like building an online course about just like general marketing stuff. They really honestly were kind of terrible courses. and they flopped is what happened. Is I had an audience, but I didn't really ask my audience what they wanted. And so I just assumed what they wanted. And I launched these courses that had taken me 3 months to build. And I think I made like $100, which was not, for me, that was not a huge success because the course was $100. So I sold one. it just didn't feel right. So I did a lot of soul searching in 2016. I actually like ended up letting go of my subcontractors, letting go of my, a lot of my clients. And I was just like, I want to figure out this course creation thing. And I ended up stumbling upon a podcast actually. Way to go for listening to podcasts, all of you out there.
Yes.
Your big ideas can come from podcasts. I ended up listening to a podcast about niching down. So about getting really, really specific and asking your audience what they wanted. And I did have a list of 1,000 people. So what I did, I basically just asked my audience, what would you want to learn from me? And across the board, everyone was like, how did you build a virtual assistant business? Because that's what I had been doing the past couple of years.
Ask that in the email and then people just responded directly there and you took that information and created nice.
I literally was just like, hit reply and let me know. And I just read the emails. And so I'm like, okay, let's do this. And something that I did differently instead this next time that I launched a course, instead of like creating the course and spending all this time and energy creating it before knowing if people were really going to buy it, this time I actually, I just made like a sales page. Like I just created this sales page and said, hey, I'm going to charge this much for this course, but I hadn't actually created the content yet. And so for the first round, I made it cheaper than it would be, in the long run. And then I was like, I'm going to validate this idea before I actually create it. I'm going to validate it by making sure someone will pay me money for it. Because my other courses, I'd gotten like 50 free beta testers. And I was like, oh, this course is going to be a huge success because, you know, 50 people wanted to be a beta. Well, 50 people wanted my course for free. That didn't really validate that someone would pay me money for it in those courses. So this way, I was like, I'm going to have people actually pay me just for really for the idea of a course. And then once they purchase over the next couple of months, I will like drip the content to them over time.
I would love to dive in really quick if that's okay.
I
love that. I love that. I want to just kind of take some moments to pause for a second just because we're on the topic of it. So when you two questions, one, can you talk to us more about, I guess maybe you'll probably get to this actually afterwards, but I want to know more about the course because, you know, I think a lot of people, and including myself, have had this association that a course is this massive, massive undertaking. It's really daunting and all this stuff. So I'd love for you to give us a behind the scenes or shed some light on that, one. And then two, I would love for you to share more about what you put on the squeeze, the sales page as well.
Of course. Yeah. So as far as content goes, I'm a really big fan of, you know, you just need to teach people how to get from A to B. You don't need to teach them how to get from A to Z. You don't need to teach them everything about every topic. Like, I'm going to do a course on marketing. Well, that's so broad, right? but if you can get really specific and move them significantly from one point to the other, then your course is a success. They'll be able to look back and be like, oh, I'm not where I was before. And so for me, I thought, okay, where do I want to take people? What's the journey I want them to go on? I want them to go on from not even knowing what a virtual assistant is to being able to, honestly, to quit their jobs. Now, that is a pretty big journey. So for me, I was like, well, what would be the steps in that journey? But I will note, you know, the course is not how to quit their job with virtual assistants and how to launch an online course and how to build an email list. And it's not all of those things. It's just even though it's a lot in that topic, it's still just, you know, the point A to point B that I had decided on. And then I just broke up, well, what would be the steps that a person would need to take there? Like, if I were to break this down into like 10 steps, what would it need to be? Okay, they need to choose their services. They need to package their services. They need to have some kind of a branding, like a name and maybe a logo, things like that. They need to get clients. They need to, you know, make sure their butt's covered legally with a contract. They need a website, all of that. So I broke down the different steps. Those became my modules. And then inside of those steps, what were the action items that they needed to take? Those became my lessons. So that's how I formed the course. And I went ahead and I drafted that all out so that it was ready inside of my sales page. So even though I didn't create the content yet, I still had a very clear outline of what I was going to be teaching.
Yeah. I mean, you, for that, piece of it. I would love, what was the price point if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. So I really felt like this course would eventually be worth $1,000, which is what the course is now. It's $997. But at that time I sold it for, I think, like $497.
Gotcha. Yeah. And you had shared that you made your first $8,000 in 1 week just from a list of 1,000 people.
Yep. So I got 16 people to purchase that first round.
That is fantastic.
It blew my mind.
That's amazing. I was just writing down notes. That's incredible. So you did the coursing, talked about the sales page. I would love for you to share now, like since you launched that, what does the business look like?
Yeah. So that was just a huge shift for me. I was like, all right, this is going to work. You know, this is what I'm going to do after making that money. And I actually, so terrible. I literally launched that course. Like, I was so dumb about this strategy. I literally launched it like right before Christmas. Like, my closed cart was Christmas Eve. Like, who does that?
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
It was like so dumb, but that's okay. I mean, God bless it, I guess. So we did, So from that point, I was like, all right, I'm going to go all in. So how do I, well, I took the next couple of months to create the content actually, and then launched again. At that point, I did use the money to, for me, my first investment, really. I knew I needed more traffic to my website. I knew I needed more email subscribers. If I was going to launch again later, because I did like open close launches, mm-hmm. if I was going to launch again, I knew I needed like fresh people on my list. And so what I chose to do was to hire somebody to do Pinterest for me. So I had been blogging already, but there wasn't really a whole lot of traffic coming to those blogs. So I hired a really awesome Pinterest manager, and she came in and just, I got her biggest package and I was like, just blow my blog up with Pinterest, just go, you know? And that's what I used that money for that I had made. So by the time that I launched again, 4 months later, I had, let's see, I think I had a little under 4,000 email subscribers that next time, just from Pinterest.
Wow.
So
what would they, really quick too, if they're coming from Pinterest and they're signing up for email, what did they get in exchange? Just, I'm trying to like understand the whole, like your marketing funnel from, you know, they come from Pinterest and then when they sign up for email list, what do they get in return?
Most of the time I would promote on Pinterest blog posts. So I love writing on long form content. That's what I did for that big blogger, was that I like wrote content for him. So content's always been like writing. I'll write like a 2000 word blog post. Like I love writing. Mm-hmm. And so I would write these big posts. And then at the bottom, I'd have like a virtual assistant checklist and starter kit. So it's just like a, you know, that would be my opt-in. And, I would have people download that, they'd get on my email list, and then I would just send them really new blog posts like every couple of weeks until the next launch.
Gotcha. Okay. Love it.
So things, I honestly, like that's just been, gosh, that was in December of 2016 that I did that big launch. So it's really been like a year and a half later. And it just blew up. I created a Facebook group also for virtual assistants, and that has 20,000 members in it now. The course last year, it's so funny because we just bought a house, right? And so my 2016, I like dropped a lot of my clients, right? So my income wasn't a lot. And then my income, my course did like basically $250,000 last year.
Damn, girl. So
the
congrats.
The guy is like, okay, so I guess we're going to take the average of these. Like it was really, really weird to try to get a mortgage off of my 2016 and 2017 taxes.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, so that's been, this past year has just been continuing to look for new ways to grow my list, continue to really serve my audience. I love teaching people virtual assistants because it's just like, it's honestly, in my opinion, the quickest way to make money online. Like it took me, like I said, I wasn't focusing on it, but it took me 4 years to get that list of 1,000 people. So I feel like generally courses are a longer game, whereas virtual assistants is just like a short game. If people want to like make money quickly online, then while you're building your blog or while you're doing an email list or while you're, you know, developing this product, whatever, start using those services to help other business owners and you can make money immediately. So that's why I'm like so passionate about virtual assistants. So I've really just been trying to serve my audience and continuing to launch that course every couple of months.
That's fantastic. I would love, so then with the people that go through your course, then do you have any sort of follow-up like placement? Do you have a marketplace where you connect, you know, people who get certified or go through your course that you can connect them with other business owners?
Yeah. So mainly what I like to do is teach them how to do their own marketing in-house. So we do have like job opportunities that we post. I mean, we probably post 3 or 4 job opportunities a day just because now people are coming to me asking for virtual assistants. So I'm like, oh, you can go to this hire a VA form on our website. And then we will take those and post them in, you know, the paid group just for opportunities. But I really like to teach people how to go out and find their own opportunities as well, because a lot of times, even now, like as virtual assistants is growing, you'll go to a Facebook group and someone's like, I want to hire a VA. and, you know, there'll be 50 comments on that one thing.
Right. Now,
so what I like to focus on is, one, teaching them other places to find jobs, and two, out of those 50 people, knowing that that's not really a lost cause, because out of those 50, probably 45 are not actually going to take extra initiative and put, you know, give value first, and like all of the ways to really make yourself stand out as a potential hire. That's the kind of stuff that I like to teach inside of the course.
Mm-hmm. I love it. What is the, like, what would you say is the biggest piece of advice you've ever received, regarding business and in personal?
Yeah. So, honestly, I'm so happy that I listened to the advice about building a list early on. I mean, I feel like that was just because I wouldn't have had that $8,000 launch and like gone on this whole journey if I didn't have a list to even ask, you know, to ask people what they wanted. So, building an audience, just even if you're offering services, or even if you don't really know what your business is going to be yet, like, that's okay. Just ask your friends and family to be on your list. Boom, you can get maybe 20 people to be on your list right away, and just like slowly start sending them content, and you'll discover along the road what you want to land on. But I wouldn't wait until everything's perfect, until you have the perfect idea, the perfect product, to start building an audience, because believe it or not, people will just want to like learn from you, whatever it is. Even if your business changes 20 times, okay, they'll walk with you on that journey, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. How many different lists do you have, or do you just stick with one?
I just have one list. Yeah. I have one list, and to be honest, every time my business shifted a little, I was like, hey, here's what I'm doing now. If you don't want on it, you can unsubscribe.
That's such a, I love that though. It's so, you know, I mean, sometimes, and even I've like gotten into thinking like the pole vaulting over masters, where it's like, I got to have this very sophisticated funnel and all these different lists, and I can't talk to them about this because they're not on that. And it's like, you just are proof that, you know, by keeping it super, super simple, having one list, having one, you know, exchange, put your email in, and then this is what you get in exchange, like, just to show like what you've been able to do. I love that.
Thank you. It's been quite a journey. And I definitely like to think, keep things simple for yeah. Sure.
Amen. You know, for alignment, one of the things that I know for you in order to get alignment in your life is having a routine. And you also start each morning with a routine checklist. I would love for you to share what is on that checklist.
Yeah. So I have I use Trello. I am kind of obsessed with Trello. We have shirts on our, I made shirts this year just for fun. They literally make me like a dollar every one that I sell, but I made a shirt that said tacos and Trello are all I need, because
that's hilarious.
I'm obsessed with Trello. But yeah, so I have it where it auto populates my to-do list every day. And so one of the things that the very first thing that's on my list is kind of to do a journal / prayer. To be honest, a lot of times I just email it. I'll just sit there and I'll like type my journal / prayer in like an email. And that for me is a good way just to like clear my head, to, you know, get all my thoughts out, to clear my frustrations, to just like hand over my business and be like, all right, this isn't all up to me. You know, I do believe that there's like a God that's directing all of this. And so, that's just a good like releasing practice. And it's crazy, the days that I don't do that, I like have so many more frustrations and like get less done. It's insane.
Yeah.
So, for me, I do that. And then there's just like kind of a couple of the like, all right, I need to make sure all of these things are in check. So, you know, I will go in and I will, check my to-do list. I have like an A, B, C to-do list. So what's on my A list? What are the important and the, urgent things that I need to do? So that's my A to-do list. I check my goals for the week. Every single day, I check what goals I made for, I do like weekly goals, but every day I check, okay, am I on track with my weekly goals?
What's an example of a weekly goal of yours, and how do you know how to set it?
Yeah. So like this week I'm, it's just like the big things that I need to do this week. So, This month, I have a quarter theme, or not a quarter theme, a monthly theme too. So this theme is like funnel month for me. Mm. Like internally, I'm working on like a little evergreen funnel to be running in the background. So I know that my weekly goals need to align with that big quarter, that big monthly theme. So when I launch, the theme is just launch. Like I don't do anything that, except for launch. And so, I think next September I have, like, I've already planned out my themes for each month for the whole year. So in September, I'm going to make sure, like, once a year, I want to go through my course content and make sure it's really just up to date and do updates, things like that. So I'll plan out kind of my themes for the month and then have my quarterly goals go along with that. So like this week, I'm re-recording a training that's going to be part of my evergreen funnel. And so that's one of my weekly goals.
Mm.
Yeah. So I put all of that in Trello. I have my different lists. I have the Trello little checklist that I go through. I, you know, check Facebook messages, check Facebook private messages. I will do those two things. And then I will not get on Facebook the rest of the day because it is a time sucker and I will forever. So it's just like, all right, I checked it off the list. I move on to the next thing. Now I go, you know, what emails do I need to answer? I'll answer those and then I move on to the next thing. And so that usually takes me about like, that's pretty much the first 2 hours of my day. Almost every day is just going through that daily checklist. And then I have the rest of the day to work on like my big projects.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I thank you for sharing that too, because it's always fascinating and I think helpful to understand how other people manage and set goals, and just to see how everyone's is so different and none of them is right or wrong. And for us, like as people, even listening too, is just getting ideas and then seeing what works for us as individuals on that basis. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. I do have, so we're coming to an end and I have a rapid fire round. So these are meant to be quick and fast. The first, I feel like if it wouldn't take too much time, I would just go back through the audio and have my assistant include this music like dun, da, da, da.
100%, yes.
Right. So maybe I'll just do it myself for the time being. Okay. What is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
Date nights with my husband. That's we try to do a date night every other week.
Mm-hmm. What is the one thing that you get your inspiration from?
I love listening to podcasts. 100%. I'll listen to podcasts on 1.5 speed and just devour information that way.
What are some of your favorite podcasts?
This one, of course.
Oh, thanks.
And I listen to a lot of like Boss Mom. I think that's a great podcast. I do like System Save Me.
Ooh.
Femtrepreneur isn't really doing hers as much anymore, but I really love going and listening back to all the archives of hers.
Yeah. Megan Minns is part of that, correct?
Yes, Megan Minns and Mariah Cause.
Yes, Megan. Megan Minns is a rock star.
I'm in their mastermind this year, and it's phenomenal.
Oh, that's awesome! I love it. What do you believe others think? What is something that you believe that others think is insane?
I think I put you put out these questions before. I think I put that that the only way to eat pancakes is with peanut butter.
Yes.
Oh. 100%. I remember being a kid and I went to somebody's house and like spent the night, and that morning her mom cooked pancakes and I was like, where's the you forgot the peanut butter. Like, I just thought that's the way everyone ate them.
Yeah. Like, you forgot that. No, that sounds delicious. What is one of your favorite books?
So I'm currently reading Profit First.
Love.
Amazing for my business. I love it.
Yeah, it's Mike McAllowitz's process is amazing. I have actually, I don't know when this airs, but there's I'm doing a podcast on like how to implement Profit First in the early stages. And that book's amazing. Okay, last question is, what is the best $100 or less purchase that you have made in your business or in your life?
In my life is like I could think of for a long time.
It could
time
be and or.
I'll do for my business. I invested in like a good webcam. because you can get one for like $100 and it makes all the world a difference with like your live streams or client calls. You just come across so much more clearly. And so I now have a Logitech, like, what is it? It's like the highest Logitech. So it's like, I think around $100, but just an awesome webcam. So that way you can get in front of your audience and they can see you clearly without being all pixelated.
Yay. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you, Abby, so much for coming on the show today. Would you please share with my listeners where they can find out more information about you, your business, and connect with you?
Of course. Yeah. So if you are at all interested in making money online as a virtual assistant or offering services online as you grow your business or blog, check out thevirtualsavvy.com and you can go to thevirtualsavvy.com/checklist to download my launch checklist and starter kit for virtual assistants.
Awesome. Thank you, Abby, so much, you guys. My team will make sure to include all the information in today's show notes. You can head over to shedidithherwaypodcast.com and click on today's episode. And what a pleasure. Thank you again, Abby.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidithherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.